This is Jim Inkster. Thanks for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Matt Doyle and Lauren Hickman are producing. Signature support is from First Financial Tax and Accounting Services and from Vantage Health Plan. We start our show today with Chris Hester, candidate for the First District Court of Appeals. Chris Hester is already a judge on the city court for 2 years here in East Baton Rouge Parish. And in the primary for this race, Melanie Newcomb-Jones, who was with us a few days ago, a Democrat, got 77,349 votes. Chris Hester was second with 59,679. And Johanna Landrino, 31,126. Hester and Landrino are Republicans. Jones is a Democrat. So Melanie Newcomb-Jones ran first by a pretty good margin, but if you add the two Republicans together, they got 54% of the votes. Now, the turnout will be much different, and it will be lower, and you can make a case one way or the other on who's helped more by this, but nonetheless, each candidate is trying to get his and her voters out to the polls. And if you'd like to join the conversation, 877-217-5757. Chris is a young man, graduate of Catholic High here in Baton Rouge, LSU undergraduate, LSU Law School, only 37 years old, but he's trying to move to another court, and obviously you view this as an enhancement. Why is this a better job than being in city court?
No, thank you so much for having me here, Jim. So I'm looking forward. I love my job at city court, and I've had a great 2 years there. This is a step up in the judiciary to move up to the Court of Appeal, and it's been a goal of mine for my career to move up in the judiciary as well, and I'm honored to have the opportunity.
You worked as an assistant district attorney, right, as a prosecutor?
I did for about 9 years. First started my career at a civil defense law firm in town, and then left that job because I wanted to be in the courtroom. That's what I really wanted to do, and that's what I saw, what I would enjoy the most is being a lawyer. And got to the DA's office. Hiller Moore hired me, loved my time there, did that for 9 years. Started off doing misdemeanor crimes and worked my way up to the chief homicide prosecutor position and section chief of the violent crimes unit.
Why does being a prosecutor help you as a judge? Some would believe it helps. Others might believe it makes you somewhat jaded as far as your view of people who come to the courts. What do you think?
I think what helps the most is the day-to-day courtroom experience. As a prosecutor, I was in court almost every single day of my career. And being in court, handling matters, handling a large volume docket, and seeing that happen every single day, that experience is second to none. And there's very few positions aside from a public defender's position or a prosecutor's position where you're actually in court every day handling that volume of files.
877-217-5757 is your number. Talk at talklouisiana.org. We will go to the phone lines in just a moment for Chris Hester, Judge Chris Hester, who is trying to move from city court to the First Circuit Court of Appeal. And the election is this Saturday. So in fewer than 48 hours, we'll be casting votes. Some have already done so early, but turnout has been, I would have to say, so far, disappointingly low. What are your thoughts about how this is a challenge? The Advocate has a editorial today about how Donald Trump, love him or loathe him, he drove turnout, and he's not on the ballot this time. How does that affect you?
Certainly runoff turnout generally goes down. There's less on the ballots, and there's less people that are getting out to vote. And I think there certainly could be some voter fatigue that occurs. We voted several times recently. We're doing everything we can to increase the turnout, to get our message out there, whether that's through different media outlets or putting up door hangers and trying to speak to people in the community as much as possible. We were doing that yesterday, mm-hmm. and we'll keep doing it through Saturday.
Now, in city court on a given day, how many cases do you hear?
Easily can see hundreds, and it's
hundreds.
been a little different depending on which section we're in. So if we're in traffic arraignments, we can see hundreds. If we're in civil, it can be less. Criminal, frequently on Wednesdays, we'll have 40 to 80, depending as whether they're set for trial or status conferences or reviews and different things like that. So we have a rotation of different things that we handle. We handle both civil and criminal matters.
What are the most often offenses that you have to judge on?
So for in the criminal side, we handle everything misdemeanors that happen in the city limits. So domestic abuse batteries, DWIs. We also handle thefts, protective orders, misdemeanor drug possession, possession of marijuana, drug paraphernalia. We handle traffic matters as well.
And if it's a felony, it
goes to district court.
Okay. 877-217-5757. Richard on Jefferson. Richard, you're on Talk Louisiana with Judge Chris Hester. Hi, Richard.
Good morning. Your ad seems to be like you're running for DA rather than judge. Do you feel you can be fair and impartial should a criminal case come before you in a court of appeals?
Thank you for your question, Richard. Absolutely, I'll be fair and impartial, just like I have been for the last 2 years on the city court bench. I think that judges are supposed to set aside any personal beliefs in anything and apply the law, and that's what I've been doing for the last 2 years, and apply and uphold the law, and that's what I'm going to continue doing if elected to the Court of Appeal.
877-217-5757 and talk at talklouisiana.org for Judge Hester in a runoff with Melanie Newcomb-Jones, and I think anybody who heard Melanie Newcomb-Jones earlier this week or Chris Hester today realizes that we have two strong and able candidates for this position. Now, a listener following up on a question, I think it was from Mike in Villa Del Rey earlier in the week, asked how you got the, as a Republican, you got the AFL-CIO endorsement. How did that happen?
Sure, I'm honored to have the AFL-CIO endorsement, just like the many other endorsements I've been able to obtain in this race. For the AFL, I went to the endorsement meeting, spoke to the people that were there, and talked a lot about who I was and what I was doing professionally. And things that came up most frequently out there at that meeting were, and I stressed the importance of how important working and how important having a job and having careers are. And that's something that I say every day in a criminal case. If I'm sentencing somebody, what are you doing? Are you taking care of a family member? Are you in school, or do you have a job? And I believe that people that have jobs and, more importantly, have a career don't turn into career criminals. And that's something that I think is very important. And I know that resonated with the members of the AFL out there. Additionally, on civil matters, a large amount of our cases that we handle at city court are $35,000 or less is our civil jurisdiction. And we've had some contractor disputes, several from the 2016 flood and afterwards. Mm-hmm. And we're still handling some of those cases. They've started to make their way out of the system over the past few years. But a lot of those did involve contractor disputes and treating people fairly and doing the right thing. They're both from the contractor side and from the homeowner side, and doing the right thing and listening to everybody and knowing that just because their case might not be in the first 5 minutes of the news, it's still important, and it's still important to them, and they deserve that same justice. So I'm honored to have that endorsement.
877-217-5757 for Judge Chris Hester. Charlotte in Mid-City, you're on the air with Judge Hester. Hi, Charlotte.
Hi.
Hi, Charlotte.
Mr. Hester, I have a question for you. I was just wondering how many appellate briefs you've personally done and about how many oral arguments you've made before the First Circuit and, like, the Louisiana Supreme Court.
Sure, Charlotte. Thank you for the question. My practice has not been before the First Circuit. What I did in my practice of law was worked at a civil defense firm primarily, and then moved to the DA's office for 9 years. And as a city court judge, I can't practice in the Court of Appeal. As a district attorney, we had an appellate division, so I handled my cases at the trial level, met with our appellate division, and we would work and prepare the briefs or the appeals, whatever was taken forth, and generally it was a response at the DA's office, and I would work in conjunction with them, but I did not appear there, and I did not handle those matters directly. That was not a part of my practice.
Thank you, Charlotte. HB in Denham Springs. Hello, HB. You're on the air with Judge Chris Hester. Hi. HB.
Good morning. Mr. Hester, when you were prosecuting in the DA's office, the chief of police was recently asked, what's the most complaints that you get from your officers? And their response was, we keep arresting the same people over and over again. And my question is this, how much plea bargain is going on to cause this?
And thanks for that question. Recidivism is a huge problem that around the nation, and certainly in Baton Rouge, that comes up. The large majority of cases that go to both city court on criminal side and to district court, several of them do resolve themselves with some sort of a guilty plea. So the large majority of cases do end up having guilty pleas that take place and do not go to trial. But we do try, whenever I was at the district attorney's office and at city court, several cases are getting tried every week and every day.
Again, 877-217-5757. Nice to hear from HB after a hiatus of some time. But another listener, this is Maria on Jefferson, asking about a question I asked Melanie Newcomb-Jones the other day. Why are you a Republican? I asked her why she was a Democrat. What makes you comfortable with the Republican Party?
I've been a Republican my entire life, and I think that shows who I am as far as my political views generally. But in a judicial race, it is a little bit different. I'm a proud Republican, but I've had several endorsements and several supporters that are Democrats, and I'm not running for a legislative or even an executive office. It's a judicial office, and it should be about the person. Other party certainly makes a difference to many people.
All right. 877-217-5757 and talk at talklouisiana.org. Now, Chris Hester is a Republican. His boss, the DA, Hiller Moore, is a Democrat. You also have his endorsement. I guess not a surprise that he endorsed you. I suspect you worked closely together when you were at the DA's office.
We did, but Hiller hasn't been my boss for about 2 years since I've been on the city court bench, but he was a former boss and a great one at that. So he, I know he believes in me. I'm honored to have his endorsement as well as the former DA, Doug Morrow, prior to him.
Well, you'll be handling, if you're elected, different kinds of cases, as you have noted, than you do in city court. And, of course, we are a city right now that is rife with crime, unfortunately, and we'll talk with Chris Hester about where we are as a community and why this position is important to this community, why we all should vote come Saturday. We'll be back in 90 seconds. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. One more segment with Judge Chris Hester, who serves on the Baton Rouge City Court. And at 37, he is the younger of the two candidates. Melanie Newcomb-Jones, on her appearance the other day, noted that she had more experience. She's been doing this longer, but Chris is a judge trying to become an appeals court judge, First Circuit. And Melanie Newcomb-Jones ran first in the primary with 46% of the votes. Chris, as I noted, ran second, obviously, or he wouldn't be in the runoff, and to collectively almost 160,000 votes in this race on Election Day. Chris received 35.5% of the votes. But let's hope turnout is good. And as I mentioned, two good candidates. So I'm sure many are listening, trying to determine who to vote for. Dan downtown is probably one of them. Dan, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana. Hi, Dan.
Hi. Judge Hester, is there a concern that for judges to realize a promotion here in Red State, Louisiana, they have to carve out a conservative pro-employer, anti-employee record in employment discrimination cases?
I think the question is, there a concern for me on that, Dan?
Well, judges in general, I think, as far as trying to move up the ladder, do you have to be of the conservative bent, or does that matter as a judge?
I think the most important thing and what most people value and look for in judges is that they're going to be fair and they're going to apply the law. And that's what I've spoken to so many people about, whether it's attorneys, other judges that are in different parts of the judiciary, or citizens. They want people that are going to be fair, do the right thing for the right reason, and that's what I'm going to keep doing.
I mentioned the crime wave, and the mayor and her opponent, Steve Carter, debated Monday at the press club event at the Burton Center. And the mayor says, like many cities across the country, Baton Rouge is showing a high rate of crime this year, a major increase because of COVID. This, of course, affects the court system, and then the court system is affected by judges and people close to them having COVID. You have one of your colleagues right now who's in quarantine. But what has this done to the judicial system as far as the increase in crime and the decrease in the ability to pass judgment on those crimes?
Certainly from March until now, we've been dealing with issues as far as things, matters getting continued on both the civil and the criminal side. So specifically to the criminal side, we were back handling cases. We never stopped handling our jail cases because we obviously had citizens that were incarcerated and their time delays that didn't stop just because of the COVID situation. But we have started handling court every single day. We're doing our best to have social distancing protocols there. People are being temperature checked before they walk in. If they answer the questions that are outside of the courtroom and they have an exposure, we're reassigning those matters to a later date. Mm-hmm. We're doing everything we can to handle. Justice doesn't stop, so we're doing everything we can to handle them as efficiently as possible.
A listener notes that you, this is Sandra, saying that you handled murder cases on occasion when you were a prosecutor. I assume that's correct.
That is correct. At the DA's office, I handled everything from misdemeanors to murder cases.
And did you ever feel unsafe? That's the question. And we live in a violent community. Do you feel unsafe at any time now when you're moving about?
I did not feel unsafe, and I do not feel unsafe. I think that treating people with respect no matter what and doing your job is important. And I hope that's the way that I come off to the citizens, to the lawyers that appear in front of me and everybody. And I think if you do that, I feel safe.
But I think the random nature of some of this crime, where you're just wrong place, wrong time, scares people, and for good reason.
Well, that's for anybody in Baton Rouge, for sure. Anybody.
But not because you're a judge. But nonetheless, we live in a violent community.
Unfortunately, we do, and I think we need to do everything we can as individuals and citizens to try to stop that and try to change that.
877-217-5757 and talk at talklouisiana.org in our remaining time with Chris Hester. Mike in Villa Del Rey, you're on Talk Louisiana. Hi, Mike.
Hey, good morning. Judge, I've only got one question. I know you got the endorsement from the AFL-CIO, and I was wondering about maybe another possible endorsement. Did you happen to get the endorsement of Mr. Lane Grigsby? I'll hang up and listen.
No, I don't have a Lane Grigsby endorsement. No, sir.
All right. Lane Grigsby's involved in a lot of races, but apparently not in this one. Now, this is for the seat that Tony Higginbotham held. Is that correct?
That's correct, Jim.
Okay. And another listener following up on what Melanie Newcomb-Jones said the other day, this is Beverly on Government Street asking about whether a female is perhaps a better follow-up successor to Judge Higginbotham. Obviously, you can't change your gender, but we need more inclusion in all walks of life. What about running against a very qualified female? Is that in any way a hindrance, or does it really matter?
I don't think it's a hindrance. I think that hopefully voters want the best person for the job with the right experience, and I know that that's what I have, and I know that the voters, I hope every voter I see, and I believe that they will see that and are going to elect me in a few days on December 5th.
All right. Chris Hester is doing his best. Last time, turnout went down 40% between the general election, when we had a presidential election, and then the runoff races afterward. And I'm afraid it may be even worse than that this time. They've got an Alabama-LSU game. Alabama's almost a 30-point favorite, but nonetheless, that will divert some attention away from this. In the remaining moments of the campaign, are you going door-to-door, or is that even possible in the COVID age?
We are. I was out yesterday until about 5 p.m. Doing door hangers and trying to wave to people and see as many people as we can, trying to be understanding and aware that some people may have issues. And if I did come in contact with people, I had my mask, and I'm trying to be as respectful to everybody that we can. But spreading the word still, I think, is very important. And people want to see you out there in the community. And mm-hmm. We're doing everything we can all the way through Election Day to handle that.
The opponent, Melanie Newcomb-Jones, noted that the district is, I think, 46% Democratic as far as registration, 32% Republican, the rest independent or something else. And it would seem that it would be an advantage. But we're in the state right now. People forget there are more Democrats than there are Republicans. But yet Republicans win almost all the statewide offices, with one exception. What does party affiliation, because let's face it, many people will go in the booth and they will choose on the basis of party affiliation. Does that affect this race dramatically?
It absolutely affects this race, and people do vote for party affiliation frequently. But I hope in a judicial race, like I said before, that people will support me because of who I am. They believe that I'm going to do the right job regardless of party. But I do think it certainly does matter.
How would you define your judicial philosophy?
Every day I try to go into court and I try to do the right thing for the right reason and treat people with respect, regardless of what kind of case comes before me, whether it's a domestic abuse battery case or a DWI case or a civil matter that we're handling or an eviction case. Anything that comes before us, the people that come before a court deserve justice and they deserve attention no matter what type of case it is. So that's what I pride myself on, doing the right thing for the right reason and listening to people's problems and following the law.
And most of the people who come before your court are probably not law school graduates from LSU, probably don't have a degree at all. Some may not even have a high school degree. You have lived a good life, to your credit, but nonetheless, does that put you in a bubble and perhaps make you unfamiliar with the challenges that others who come to your court face?
I don't believe so. I think that I see people every single day, and I try to be very aware of the situation and understanding of different people's situations. And you never know who's going to walk in the door, and that's why it's important to treat everybody with respect and to give them the attention they deserve and not just handle files but handle the people that come in the door, and that's important.
Do you have any mentors along the way?
I've had several good mentors. My father was one of my best mentors that I've had. I worked for Hiller Moore at the DA's office. Was a fantastic mentor for me as well.
Sabash at the Country Club. Sabash, you'll be our final caller for Judge Chris Hester. Hi, Sabash.
Hi, good morning, Ms. Engster. Good morning to your guest. I heard your guest saying that he is a proud Republican and he wants to be a judge. How can anybody be a proud Republican with the state of Republican Party, with the president, with the senators, with the...
All right. Could you follow up on Sabashi's wound up? Do you follow the lead of the president, or you answer the question, please.
And look, as a judge, Jim, and Sabash, thank you for your question. We can't endorse publicly or support any candidates publicly. Of course, I'm a Republican. But moving forward, as far as a judge, I want people to vote for me because they think I'm going to do the best job and that I'm going to do the right thing for the right reason. And that's the most important thing. And character is one of the most important qualities in a judge. And I hope that's why people vote for me. And I think that's what we're going to get done on Saturday.
Well, thank you, Judge Chris Hester, who is a family man as well, and we wish you well, as we do your opponent. But hopefully we'll have both of you back, no matter what happens, again very soon.
Thank you, Jim.